This is Taking On Sports, where you'll find the best takes on all of the sports stories that need to be taken on. Today, myself, Brad Gressens, alongside Andy Beebe and Mitchell Thomas, take on the long Michigan and Detroit Lions football seasons by breaking down some of our favorite moments of the year. Alrighty, boys, so I wanted to put a little wrap on football season. Obviously, the Lions just wrapped up their season in heartbreaking fashion. Michigan won the national title, who we talked a ton about. So we talked about these two teams a lot, Michigan and the Detroit Lions. So I wanted to wrap up the season by doing a top five, and I asked you guys to come up with a top five stories, moments, whatever you really wanted, top five things, top five storylines of the football season. We're doing one combined list, both Michigan and the Lions. We're not going to break them apart because if we try to do a top 10, this podcast would be way too long for what we're trying to do. If you missed the Lions reaction pod, I went completely solo on that one. In fact, the Lions blew it so hard that they got Andy sick. That's how hard it was, and he's still fighting through it a little bit today, so he's a trooper. But let's not delay too long, as let's get into the list, the top five stories of the football season, both Michigan and the Detroit Lions. Mitch, how about you go first on this one? What's number five on your list?
Number five I have would be Rod Moore sealing the game with an INT. And that was pretty much the best way to silence all the loud-mouthed doubters. Going into the game, everyone was talking about how Michigan didn't play anybody and that, you know, the cheating scandal is the only reason why they had success for the last 3 years. And then Rod Moore, who wasn't even recruited by Ohio State, born and raised in Ohio, got to end the game on that interception. I mean, that was just crazy. But a little bit means more to me because I went to the game in 2017 and 2019, and they were never able to get over the top. I wasn't able to go in 21 as I unfortunately had to work. Had an opportunity to go where I would have been there at halftime, but I just wasn't willing to risk it. And then, you know, they won for the first time in 8 years or whatever it was. So for me, being able to go and watch just going watching beat Ohio State, that was the only Big Ten team that I've never seen Michigan beat in person. I've been going to home and some away games for quite a while now. So, I mean, that was a top moment for me and Michigan and Lions for this season.
I'm amazed that this is this low on your list because it's higher than five on my list. And you are more of a you're more of a Michigan fan than Andy and I put together. So I'm really
surprised.
Don't
worry. 90% of this list is Michigan stuff, but I just wanted to put a Lions one a little bit higher than five.
Wow. All righty. I'm really surprised this is as low. Andy, why don't you go? What's number five on your list? Because I'll have more to say about this Rod Moore thing later.
No, for sure. I'm going to stick with that game. And the play I'm choosing for number five is Corum's touchdown run, the play after Zinter's injury. I mean, Mitch, you were there watching on TV. You could see the deflation amongst the team, amongst the crowd, and you could see the emotion, especially through the team. I mean, it's the captain of your old line right there. And so you see him go down and take some time to get him off the field, kind of hit the reset button, and next play. Corum touchdown run in the most Michigan fashion right there. I think that really, even though it didn't complete the game, that really put the Michigan stamp in that game, that moment right there.
Yeah, so as soon as Zinter went down, you could just tell that it wasn't good. As soon as he went down, the cart went out midfield, and I just sat in the bleachers like, damn, this is really how it's going to end, like his career. Because, I mean, it just means so much for the program. And, I mean, just the very next play, Blake Corum going for that 20-yard touchdown, man. That's something that, you know, you play the game for. That's why we're a fan of the sport. Those kind of magical moments that just appear out of thin air. You don't expect them to happen, but all of a sudden they're there. So that should be on my top five too. But I mean, I could make like a top 20 and then just made a podcast on my own of all Michigan stuff. But I don't think you guys want to hear that. I don't think we want to get that far into it, but
no,
definitely
no.
Top play for sure.
No, no. Okay, so that was number five on my list, too. I agree with you, Andy, so I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to bring in what was my number six that I just barely cut off, so I'm going to put this in here. I'm going with a Lions one here at number five. I thought it was such a big deal for this team, for the Lions, when they came back to beat the Bears. The comeback against the Bears, I think, is a really big moment in the season. The pass to Jameson Williams that brought it within a score, finding a way to take the lead in the game, and then the strip sack leading to a safety to end the game. And if you heard the radio call, Dan Miller going absolutely nuts on the Hutch strip sack. I think that the Lions comeback win over the Bears might have been one of the best comebacks of the year. I mean, it was one of the first times a team had blown that big of a lead that late in the game. So my number five biggest moments of football season between the Lions and Michigan is the Lions comeback against the Chicago Bears. A huge moment, momentum swinger for the season. All right, so that's number five. Mitch had the Rod Moore pick. Andy and I both had the Corum run right after the Zinter injury, which then I switch now to the Bears. The Lions comeback against the Bears. Let's go to number four.
So at number four, I have Jared Goff getting his revenge against the LA Rams. There are so many narratives going into that game. First home playoff game and a digillion years, it felt like.
Yeah.
Stafford returning back home to the D. I mean, it was just the perfect game narratively wise. Goff got his revenge on the team that dumped him. And then being able to be there for the first home playoff game in so ever long. I mean, it just can't get that much better than that as a fan of the Detroit Lions.
You're absolutely not wrong. That's a big storyline that wasn't talked about enough during the week of that game because it was always Stafford coming back to Detroit. But it was Goff getting revenge and McVay. We used the team that dumped him all the time. That's what we said that entire week, that podcast. The team that dumped him. That's a good number four.
No, absolutely. I'm gonna go the Lions route, and instead of going Lions and Bears, I'm gonna save that one for a little bit later. I'm gonna go a week prior to that. Lions beating the Chargers 41-38 on the road. Now the Chargers weren't the Chargers of the last couple of years, but playing that team on the road in a shootout in their environment, that moment, especially watching the entire fourth quarter. I mean, you hear me talk about the Lions the last few weeks, you're waiting to see them fold. And in that game on the road, pulling out the victory with the last second field goal, that was the moment for me personally where I'm like, this team is kind of built different. They're closing out games the way they should. They're not letting things run away from them. They're not making mistakes late in the game. But that game right there, being the Chargers on the road in the fashion that they did, I think that was a big eye-opening moment for me personally with this team.
That was one that almost made my list just because it was such a highly anticipated game. They had to go across the country on the road. They had to make big plays all the way throughout the game. They blew a bit of a lead in that game. Really, really big-time win for them in the season. So my number four, I'm going to college, and I know I'm stealing one above what Mitch has later on in his list. I can guarantee it. I couldn't pick one play from the Alabama game, so I'm putting two here. And obviously, one of the big ones is stopping Milroe. The what might have been an RPO, I don't think was an RPO, just quarterback draw that didn't work. But it's the Corum run in overtime. That's the big time play for me. I was going to start my list with back-to-back Blake Corum runs before I switch my number five. The Corum run in overtime where, one, he's not touched until like the 5 or 6 yard line because the offensive line gets such a good pull from the right guard. And then he's able to spin off a couple of tackles into the end zone. It really felt like this is no pun intended, the tide had turned there, that Michigan was going to win the game. They had played stagnant for a while. They were going to win when Corum scored that touchdown because he just wasn't going to let them not win at that point.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I do have that higher up on my list. So we'll be discussing that a little bit more later on in the pod.
Well, in that case, let's go to number three.
I have all the Michigan players and Harbaugh hoisting the college football playoff trophy. I mean, we talked about the timing of Harbaugh leaving and everything for the NFL, but to me, that's just a perfect way for him to end his tenure at Michigan, to finally reach that far, long-awaited mountaintop with one of the best teams in Michigan football history. And to me, just watching him and the team hoist the trophy, it just really encapsulates the Bo Schembechler saying, those who stay will be champions. Because I know we talked about on the pod, all the sacrifices Blake Corum, Mikey Sanderstill have made staying on this team for so long, being those culture guys. Trevor Keegan and Michael Barrett as well. I'm probably missing a whole bunch of guys too, but that moment, just hoisting that trophy, just really personifies that saying. And that saying finally came to life in our Michigan football fandom for once.
Maybe. We'll see if that championship sticks around.
Oh,
as
my
we
God.
Talked
it's
about
it. Ancient, give me a break. We're not going on with this.
As we talked about on a previous pod, there's a bit of a cloud over this title, so it is not in my list, winning the title. In fact, it wasn't even in my top 10 that I created on my way here. It had been like 12 or 13 was Michigan actually winning that title, and because I am just such a bitter guy right now about Jim Harbaugh. He got announced as the Chargers coach today, and I couldn't listen to him. It was amazing how insufferable I find him now, a month after when I found him great. It's amazing how that switches. So not even near my list is Michigan winning the national title. It's the games leading up to it that I have in there. Andy, let's go to number three for you. We're doing the top five for each of us, top five moments of football season, the Lions in Michigan, who we've spent so much time talking about.
For me, I'm going to stick with Michigan, and I'm going to go with the Mikey Sainristil almost pick six against Washington. In that moment, I didn't want anything more for anybody else than for him to get into the end zone. The moment I realized it was him, a guy coming in as a wide receiver and seeing his transformation there at Michigan and you know, wasn't really a stud on offense, and saw him make the switch, and he just transformed into a leader. I mean, any Michigan fan has nothing but love for Sainristil. So, yeah, the moment I saw him with the ball, that was probably the loudest that I could have been. I think I might have been on a cast with you guys, so I was a little bit reserved when we were watching the game. But no, I mean, watching him run the ball, It hurts they didn't get into the end zone, but I'm glad that he was able to clinch it for the team, because I mean he was a leader for them. It's gonna be tough to see him go, but that's definitely very high on my list. That's a play I'm gonna remember for a while.
That's a great point. That's not even one I thought of to put on the list here, but that is a really, really good one, and one that I feel like I'm not sure it would have made my like top five, but it definitely would have made the top 10. I'd have to delete a thing or two out of the one that I have here. So really, really good pick there at number three. And I'm going to stick with the college side of things again here at number three. My top two are going to be Lions ones, but at number three is the Rod Moore interception. Michigan had blown Ohio State out the previous 2 years with pullaways at the end, you know, close for the most part, but then they pull away at the end. But this was one that they really needed. Winning a close game, making a big play at the end of the game, because even myself, the most positive of fans that there is usually, definitely thought Ohio State was going to walk down the field and score and win the game 31-30. Everything had set up for me to just become depressed, and instead Rod Moore is able to get that interception. I forget who had the pressure. I'm sure, Mitch, it's on your head. Who had the pressure to hit Kyle McCord that led to the Rod Moore interception. That play sent Michigan where they needed to go, because let's face it, nothing happens They don't even get a chance at Bama. They don't beat Bama. Of course, they don't get Iowa in the Big Ten title game if Rod Moore doesn't secure that football.
Yeah, it was Jalen Harrell that had that pressure.
Thank you.
Kind of an underdog moment in that play, obviously. But you kind of brought up a little bit of PTSD because that entire game, I was happy as a clam. I felt Michigan, they controlled the entire game. And then I looked up at the scoreboard. Okay, we're only up 6 points. What's the worst that can happen? And then that's when Kyle Matur started airing the ball a little bit. Marvin Harrison was making a couple plays and everything. And I was just like, God damn it. Don't fucking do this to me. The entire time, all 50 minutes of the game, I was happy as can be. And then the last part of it, I was like, don't ruin this. Don't freaking ruin this at all. But, you know, Rod Moore saved the day. I completely forgot about my PTSD until now. And I was able to storm the field, so nothing better with that play. You know, you might convince me that it might be a little bit higher up on the list, but for me, for my number two spot on top plays between Michigan and Detroit Lions, I have Blake Corum's run into the end zone. I mean, you mentioned it before. I mean, Michigan did not have a good third quarter at all. And they were just struggling to get anything going. But, you know, when they were able to tie it up in the fourth, and then they Harbaugh just said, give it to your best player. And that's what Blake Corum did. He put the team on his back on those couple plays in overtime, was able to rumble and stumble into the end zone. And like I said before in the previous pod, that was, to me, that is Blake's best run of his entire legendary career at Michigan. And with that play, I think it further cements himself on Michigan's Mount Rushmore of all time, not just between Michigan running backs.
Yeah, I think I have these in the wrong order. I think I should have had the Rod Moore pick below the Corum run. I think I agree with you. The Corum run is probably the biggest Michigan play of the year for me. And then was the Rod Moore pick.
Man, for my number two, that's tricky. I've got a few left, and it's so hard to decide, you know, which ones to leave out, because I don't want to have any repeats. I mean, you got the fourth down stop that Michigan had against Bama. That was probably the loudest that I've been watching a game this year, because I couldn't get too excited with the Michigan Ohio State game. I was at work at that time, so I was trying to keep it as reserved as possible. But man, I'm gonna go to as much as that game against Bama was phenomenal. I'm gonna go to Detroit, and my number two is gonna be the Lions beating the Bears in November. And the reason why is because I was there. To watch that in person was, in a word, for about two and a half quarters, very deflating. It was a difficult game to watch, especially in person. My wife can attest to that, as she's probably chuckling listening to me right now. She was there with me, with a couple of my buddies, and she still makes fun of me to this day about our mannerisms and tone until about, 3 minutes left in the game, when we thought, oh my gosh, there could be some hope. A lot of muttered words that day. A lot of swearing that day, and definitely in terms of watching a game in person, gotta be in my lifetime top three, at least, I'd say.
Can't blame you for that. As I mentioned earlier, obviously the Lions getting the victory over the Bears. That's so I forgot totally that you were there. That you talked about it afterwards. It was such an awesome victory. It seemed like a statement win for Lions fans. Beating the Bears is nothing, right? But beating the Bears when you're trailing, when it seemed like all hope was lost. We saw the Lions blow that game and lose that game by 3 touchdowns our entire lives. And I think that's why it ended up being such a huge deal. So my number two is the Ifeatu Melifonwu pick against Minnesota that sealed the division. The Lions winning the division, like I don't have the Tampa Bay win in my list here. Winning the division is the second biggest thing the Lions did this year. And obviously these games against Minnesota were tight, and The NFC North was the weakest it's been in a while, with an injured Kirk Cousins. Jordan Love didn't come on until the end of the year. The Lions were good all year, and they deserved to be the number one team, but we all knew and we all felt a little bit in the back of our minds that, hey, this is still risky, and we still have to win the NFC North to truly feel good about ourselves. And when Melifonwu picked that ball off near the goal line, and again, I'll go back to Dan Miller going nuts, because I was going just as nuts as he was when the division fate was sealed. It really cast a lot of demons out of Detroit. Being able to win the NFC North for the first time, they hadn't won a division since it was the NFC Central.
So speaking about casting out demons, for my number one spot, I obviously have the Jalen Milroe stop in the Rose Bowl.
Sure.
So for me, when thinking about these, my top two, originally I had Blake Corum at number one in his touchdown run in the Rose Bowl. But then I got to thinking, the plays or the games that are the most memorable to me are pretty much the games where you feel like that you have no shot at winning. So this might, I was being a little bit woe is me for that third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, most of the fourth quarter in that Rose Bowl game. They played a good first half. You know, they had the lead and everything, but they just did not look impressive at all. So in the fourth quarter, when the Rose Bowl was playing Mr. Brightside and whatever Alabama's shitty song is, Dixieland Delight, whatever, I was not getting into it at all. I was just like, this is so fucking unbelievable that spent all this time, spent all this money to go down there and everything, and they're just going to screw this game up, and it's going to be the same thing before losing in the college football semifinal. But obviously that stop changed everything, changed my entire outlook on the game, and it just had all the makings of a perfect memory in my mind. It was a legendary venue, first time being at the Rose Bowl, so that's obviously A-plus material right there, and the magnitude of the game. Finally getting over that college football playoff semifinal hump and playing in a national championship. And it just ended so many of those narratives that we had about Harbaugh and Michigan about, you know, reaching the mountaintop. So for me, it was just the perfect storm of just creating the perfect memory in that one final play.
No, I agree with you, Mitch. I mean, watching that game was heart-wrenching and emotional. I mean, you're going up against the giants of college football, and you know, to be able to pull out a win there, you know, in a sense that was kind of their national championship for Michigan, getting through Alabama.
Also, one thing that's, you know, not really talked about a ton, but that was Saban's last game too, that you mentioned the kings of college football, and to send Saban on his way with a loss, stopping him at the goal line. I mean, Saban's the greatest college coach of all time, but man, that just adds to how big of a deal that play was.
No, I definitely did. To go to my number one, man, I got three left and I don't know which one to pick, but you know, this one might be a little bit high on my list, definitely in relation to you guys and probably most of our listeners, but this one still hit home for me more than anything else. And that's the Lions beating Stafford and the Rams. I thought that was, I mean, that was tremendous. I mean, you talk about their storyline and you know, a lot of hype before the season started. I mean, that hype was unreal before the season started. And to see them progress through and then, you know, win the division for the first time in however fucking long and finally get on through. And guess what? The first home playoff game is against your old friend, a guy that was on your team for however long. Like, he was the icon of Detroit for so long. And to have that, you know, be the matchup. And I mean, you knew it was going to be a fight, and you knew one way or another, you know, either Detroit's getting a win or Stafford's finally winning in Detroit. I mean, there's going to be a storyline to match with it. And, to see that, you know, to see the Lions get over their first hump against Stafford and, I mean, against McVay. I mean, you knew that was going to be a battle. And so, yeah, I think the Lions beating Stafford was definitely the biggest moment of their playoffs. Because, I mean, beating Tampa, I think that was kind of expected. You know, you were hoping that they wouldn't slip up, but I think the battle against the Rams and Stafford was definitely a lot more. There are just a lot more ties to it, especially to Detroit fans.
No doubt about it. My number one is in the same game as yours. It's really, really close to what yours is. But you mentioned, yeah, just how big of a deal it is to beat your old quarterback, because as Lions fans, I don't know how you guys felt, but I always appreciated Stafford. I knew it wasn't his fault. And he never really spoke out. He'd say a little thing here and there about the situation, but never really spoke out. I loved Matthew Stafford. Being able to get that win over him was such a big deal. And it's a big deal that Dan Campbell beat McVay, too. I thought that that really solidified him as a good coach. I know he's getting destroyed in the media, but any national show is just going to pick the easiest thing they can destroy, which right now is Dan Campbell, because it's no fun making fun of players who just didn't make plays, even though Dan Campbell coached the exact same way he would have all year long. You guys didn't get a chance to talk about that on the reaction pod on Monday, but that's one thing that I talked about a lot. So my number one, though, is the way that they won that game. Not only that the Lions beat the Rams and won their first playoff game in 30 years, it was throwing the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown that I thought was such a big deal, and then subsequently the kneel down. There was only one moment in sports between these two teams that made me cry this year. The Alabama stop was close, but this Lions victory did. This Lions victory did make me shed tears. And the Lions all year were aggressive. Over-aggressive at times, whatever. They were aggressive. And they decided at that moment they weren't going to run out the clock. They knew that they were 9 yards away, 10 yards away from winning the game, not running down the clock, winning the game. They can drop to a knee. And Dan Campbell coaches the way that he coaches, and he went and won the game for the Lions, for Lions fans everywhere, for, of course, the city of Detroit, by throwing the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown. That, to me, is the number one thing that happened in football this year, was throwing the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown. All right, so let's go over our list real quick. Mitch, give me 5 through 1 real quick for you.
Number 5, I had Rod Moore sealing the game against Ohio State with an interception. Number 4, I have the Lions beating the Rams and Jared Goff getting his revenge. Number 3, I have the Michigan players and Harbaugh hoisting the college football playoff trophy, the ultimate persona of those who stay will be champions. Number 2, I have Blake Corum rumbling and stumbling into the end zone in the Rose Bowl. And then number 1, I have the fourth down stop in the Rose Bowl. Probably the only time where I hysterically cried after a game. I don't know, Andy, if you've seen New Girl at all, but it really reminded me of the scene where Jess and Nick met Prince, where Jess is like hysterically ugly crying, and then Nick's just like, ha ha, ah, ha ha, just like super shocked and whatever, and then faints. I didn't faint. I probably was close if I kept going for a little bit, but ugly crying's the best thing ever.
Man, I love that. That's the title of this podcast now. Mitch crying like he met Prince. That's going to be, it's now the title of this podcast. Also, one thing I love is that all three of us picked something between Lions and Rams, and we all picked a different storyline in that Lions-Rams game. I really like that we all picked the Lions winning, but we all picked a different moment. Beating Stafford, Goff winning, and then me, the way they won with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Andy, what was your top five again?
You know, it's funny. I'm rewriting them because I was deleting them as I go. So now I'm trying to brainstorm. So I'm going to rally off this. I'm going to guess my number 5 was Corum's run, touchdown run against Ohio State after the Zinter injury. That sounds about accurate. Number 4, the Lions beating the Chargers on the road. I'm sorry, Brad. 41 to 38 on the road. I felt like that was the major turning point for the Lions to prove that they are competitors. 3, the Saints still almost pick 6 against Washington. I mean, that was I was willing. I was trying to force Will through the TV as much as I could for that play. Number two, the Lions beating the Bears. Yeah, you know, I mean, a big moment, but seeing it in person just made it so much better. And then number one, Lions beating Stafford in such a battle that we knew, you know, knew it was going to be a battle. But, it, you know, from that week leading up, there were just so many ties, so many emotions with that game on both sides, really. And, you know, play with class. And as you mentioned, Brad, nothing but love for Stafford, even after he left. Absolutely nothing but love. Him immediately getting the Super Bowl. I mean, in my heart of hearts, that's what I wanted was, you know, if you can't get it in Detroit, go get it somewhere else. Like, good for him. I was hella happy for him. So even moving forward, doesn't matter. Even after this, you know, even well after he retires, I'm still going to be a Stafford fan through and through. I mean, definitely one of my favorite Lions.
No doubt. The guy fought tooth and nail. He's a Dan Campbell type of guy. He would have fit in with this group that we have right now. So my top five at number five was the Lions comeback against the Bears that you saw live. At number four was the Alabama stopping Milrow in the Corum run, which I should have switched with what my number three was, the Rod Moore interception. Number two, Melifonwu sealing the NFC North with an interception. And at number one, throwing the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown to win the first playoff game in 30 years. Anybody have some honorable mentions? I have some other ones that were on here. I've got actually a few of them that were on here. I'll just throw out one real quick here. Going all the way back, the draft. The Lions drafting the players that they drafted. Those top four draft picks all were fantastic. I defended it from the beginning, and I am really happy that I did, because those four guys, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell, Sam Laporta, Brian Branch, all huge contributors of why the Lions got where they got.
For me, I just have one that was left out. I wanted to put on the list, but, you know, very recent news. I mean, this is going back to what, I don't know, 2 days ago, maybe, maybe even yesterday. The news of Ben Johnson coming back. Oh my gosh, what a relief. After the season that they had, I mean, I was going to put that at five, just slipped on the tail end of my list. And, you know, because I think that was really the concern, you know, for the last couple months, really, was where are the coordinators going to go? I wasn't so worried about the defensive side of the ball. If Aaron Glenn left, I won't be upset at all, really. But Ben Johnson was somebody who I wanted to make sure stayed with the team, with that offense. I mean, you're talking a top five offense for the last 2 years of the NFL, and, you know, somebody who works incredibly well with Jared Goff and is very creative and can work with the quirks and aggressiveness of Campbell. So I thought Ben Johnson coming back was a major, major plus. And because you're kind of worried a little bit about the, you know, I want to say a hype hangover of sorts, but having him come back with that offense, I think, is very, very critical for this team's return.
100% with you. That's one of my honorable mentions as well.
Yeah, so my two honorable mentions, you guys already talked about in detail, the comeback win against the Bears, and then the Mikey Sanversil almost pick six against Washington. But I'm just going to go ahead and talk about my troll honorable mention, where I have Harbaugh being suspended because all the Big Ten coaches were whining and complaining to the commissioner about some shitty-ass iPhone footage. And so what did Michigan do? Sherrill Moore said, fuck you and fuck your bullshit narratives. We're going to beat Penn State and Ohio State without Harbaugh, and you don't have shit to say.
That's a good one. And speaking of the Penn State game, one of my honorable mentions, not passing pretty much the entire second half. Sherrone Moore, who is now the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, just deciding, yeah, why would I pass the ball? I don't need to. I don't need to do this. I know it's super simple. It's 1940s football, but who cares? It's working. We're going to go win a football game without throwing the football. And then the last one I have that is an honorable mention that wasn't talked about was Derek Barnes getting his first ever interception to seal the game against Tampa Bay. Big time moment, big time play. They got it done. Derek Barnes was just standing in front of a receiver, had it thrown right to him, but the guy makes a play to end up winning the game. And I'm glad that that's the Derek Barnes play that we're talking about at the end of the season and not him just deciding not to tackle Dak Prescott in the end zone against Dallas. Instead, it's him getting his first career interception and making a big play. That's my last of our honorable mentions. I'm sure we all missed something. So, comment on Twitter, on Facebook, comment what we missed or what your favorite plays or storylines or whatever it was of the year. Both Michigan and the Lions. Heck, if you're a Michigan State fan, if there's a big one, we'll talk more Sparty. We've got some Spartan basketball stuff to talk about relatively soon. They look like they're actually starting to turn a corner. Of course, Michigan State football is interesting now with Jonathan Smith being the head coach. So this podcast will talk more Sparty on the way. We've got a lot. We got to find some stuff to talk about, guys. We've got football season's over. And baseball season's still 2 months away. I mean, I know it's pitchers and catchers report, but we got to find some stuff to talk about.
Can we start doing brackets now? I'm always up for a good bracketology session.
Let's do some brackets. That's what we got to do. By the way, congrats to Tom Izzo. He got a 700th career win over Michigan. That was pretty cool. I watched most of that contest once I got home from work. That was pretty cool. Clearly outclassed Michigan. Michigan was shooting like 60% and still couldn't pull away from Michigan State. Tom Izzo, no matter how you feel about MSU, I've never been an MSU hater. I've always loved Tom Izzo. I think he's awesome. I think he's great. He coaches the way I would like to be coached and the way I would, if I ever am coaching anybody, I'm going to be like Tom Izzo. He's a fantastic coach. So I'm really happy for him. Anyway, find Taking On Sports on our social media pages, both Twitter and on Facebook, and comment your top five from the football seasons, both the Lions and Michigan. Andy and Mitch, thank you. I'm Brad Gressens, Taking On Sports.